That's a pretty good thought right there, isn't it? They just don't know what God knows, amen? Them doctors don't know what God knows. Them economists don't know what God knows, amen? And by the way, you don't know what God knows. Take your Bible tonight and go to Joshua chapter number 1. I told my wife this afternoon, I thought recently I was going back over some things and some notes, and I thought probably I'd never preach from this scripture another message. I probably preach more messages from Joshua chapter number 1 than any one chapter that I have in the entire Bible. I love the book of Joshua, and I think Joshua is one of the most amazing men in the Old Testament. I can't wait to meet him when I get to heaven. After I've been with Jesus for about 10 million years, then I think I'll look Joshua up. Amen. But it is going to be exciting to meet the man. As far as I know, he had only one defeat recorded in his life. And Joshua was a great leader, and Joshua was a great general in the nation of Israel. If you know the story, you know Joshua took up after Moses had died. If I've ever signed your Bible, I'm going to read the scripture that I sign a Bible with. And that's 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse number 8. But I want to look at verse 7 and 8 tonight. And I know you're familiar with it, but stay with me just for a few minutes. The Lord told Joshua, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." But I tell you, if we need any kind of Christians today, it's strong and courageous Christians. Amen. We're living in a day when God's men won't preach the gospel anymore. They're afraid to say sin. They're afraid to say blood. They're afraid to say abortion. They're afraid to say adultery. They're afraid to say homosexuality. All these little words that are not politically correct. Amen? But it doesn't matter if they're not politically correct. As long as they're biblically correct, we're okay. Amen? We need some of God's men with a backbone like a saw log and a set of lungs like leather who will sound the gospel trumpet tonight. Amen? God is instructing Joshua how to head forward in this thing of leading the nation of Israel across the River Jordan and into the promised land. He said, "Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest." He said in verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." There's not a one of us who doesn't have a desire to be successful in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's just to be I think it's a pretty good goal to set to be a successful husband, to be a successful mother, to be a successful wife. I think those are pretty good goals. The days we're living in, I think that's some of the loftiest dreams a young mother can have, amen, or a young woman could have. I remember when Ashley was a kid and she was in the 11th grade and thinking about the future in college and all that kind of stuff, and we were sitting in the living room one night, and it was just after church. She was real quiet, and I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And I don't remember the exact words, but this was the gist of it. She started crying. She said, "Daddy, what if I don't want to go away to college?" I said, "I never asked you to. All I want is what God's will for your life is." She was trying to make this decision about where to go. I said, "I'll never forget it." I said, "What do you want to be?" She said, "A mama." Amen. Never forget that. She said, "I want to be a mama." I think that's a pretty good goal, amen? I just want to be a good mom. I want to be a good wife. There ain't a college in the country can teach you that, amen? Amen. And I think every one of us desire to be successful. Now, this is what spurred my thought and brought me back to this scripture. Yeah, I guess so. All the talk on the radio and in the news is Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Everywhere you turn, it's something about the Super Bowl or Tim Tebow. They can't leave that poor guy alone, can they? Amen. I believe the Lord showed them a little something in that game the other night. Amen. They said his last verse was John 3:16. He threw for 316 yards with an average of 31.6 yards per carry. And then what was that when you told me? 31.6. That's coincidence. I know. It just all just so happened to be like that. No, I believe God is saying, hey, mark one up for the team. Amen? And, I believe God stands by his people. But as I've listened these last several days and I've been thinking about the Super Bowl, and I love to watch football. But I'm not a huge football fan. I like college ball more than ball. I just don't like all the thug mentality that these guys carry with them and look like a bunch of tattooed animals out there. Amen. Wanting to fight after every play. But anyway, I've been kind of watching this thing. I came to church tonight and I asked Brother Dennis and then I asked Brother Terry. I asked this question about three times and got three different answers. I don't know exactly how many teams are still have a shot at the Super Bowl. Brother Terry said eight and Brother Dennis said six or four. So there are how many? Four, and she knows everything according to her. So anyway, there's somewhere between four and eight teams still got a shot. Eight, Brother John said. We just have a fight, and we'll settle it like that, okay? But listen, I want you to think about something tonight. This is the title of the message. I'll be through in just a few minutes. Your Super Bowl. Your Super Bowl. You interviewed on any one of those 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 teams, however many it is, if you interviewed any one of those guys on Super Bowl Sunday, they would tell you this was the reason they were born. Wouldn't they not do it? They've lived their life for it from the time they was this little playing peewee football. It's been their dream their entire life. And they'll tell you that's what they were born to do. That's what they were made to do. However, you and I, God did give them an athletic talent. There's no doubt about that. As somebody said, they're trying to teach this philosophy to our kids today. You can be anything you want to be. No, you cannot. You can be what God made you to be and nothing else, Jack. Amen. These guys with these talents, that guy with the Bengals turned a flip over a guy's head the other night in a game and landed on his feet in the end zone. You try that. You cannot be anything you want to be. I grew up, Brother Johnny Cash and I grew up together. And Brother Johnny was born with a gift to throw a baseball. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do it like he could.
Amen. I can't get a ball 94 miles an hour with a bat. He can throw it with his arm.
But I'm just telling you, there's a gift. And these guys have a gift. There's no doubt about it. I'm not taking that away from them. But what I'm saying is they feel like they have a purpose and a reason. And they everyone have a dream. And that's to put a ring on that finger that says I played with the best. At one time, I was the best of the best. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now,
you have a Super Bowl.
Every one of us have a reason that God put us here. Every one of us, the Super Bowl, they play games every Sunday, every Monday, but the Super Bowl, that's the target, that's the goal, that's where they're everyone trying to get to. Would you agree? To that one, here's what I would say my Super Bowl would be, or your Super Bowl. It'd be God's perfect will for your life. Amen. And that can change from time to time. Amen. But I believe we've everyone got a purpose that God put us here. We were made for a reason. One lady had a bumper sticker on her car that said, "Born to Shop."
If that's all my life consisted of,
I'd shoot myself. I've got news for you. You were born for something else. Now, you may have been to do a small job. Hey, I believe God custom designs bus workers.
Amen.
Amen. It takes a special kind of person. Can't just anybody get on a bus. And Brother David Connell told me one day, he said, "I work a bus, but I hate kids." I said, no, you're not cut out for the job. Amen. I believe there's something God puts inside of us to equip us to do the job that he'd have us do. Some of you are very, very good with your mouth. It's a shame you don't use it for the right reason.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you love to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, but what you're talking about is nothing.
Yeah.
Amen. God gave you the gift of gab. Hey, I got it. I cannot deny it. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said, why come Pop never talks a whole lot? He can't. He'll say, "Uh-huh," when she breathes.
Yeah.
Mama's packing up her purse and leaving. Stop her, Johnny. Amen. Listen,
I'm thankful
thankful that I was born with that gift. On my report card in school, always the same two things. When it got down to conduct, they'd write a little note right beside the F and say, Eddie can't keep his mouth shut. Eddie can't stay in his seat. God made me to talk. Amen. Yeah. That's my purpose. This is
my purpose in life.
Is to do what I'm doing it right this very second. This is my Super Bowl. Y'all all right? Hey, there's going to be two teams play that game.
One of them's going to walk off
with their heads way up here in the clouds. But there's another team going to walk off that field losers. I don't want to be a loser in my Super Bowl. Whatever God's plan is for my life or whatever God's will is for my life. And I'm preaching this to the Wednesday night crowd because this is a crowd that's most likely going to get there. Amen. Did you know there's a lot of players that live their
whole lives and hopes and dreams of playing in the Super Bowl that they never even make it to the NFL? They've given no thought to nothing else that they might do with their life.
I mean, it's just football, football, football. This world is sports crazy. I thought it was just America till I went to Australia. They're crazier about their football than we are ours. Ask my wife. Everybody you meet's got on a jersey of a color. Everybody's supporting some team. But this world is sports nuts. Amen. Hey, it's hard. It's hard to play in a Super Bowl when you blew your knee out in college or high school or whatever. But what I'm saying is there's a whole lot of people that have the aspiration, that have the dream, that maybe even have the talent, but they never get there. Something sidetracks them along the way. I believe
there's a lot of Christians who miss God's perfect will for their life
because they get sidetracked, hurt or bitter or angry, upset, falling out, whatever it may be. What would happen if this is the place where you are to find God's perfect will for your life? But the week before he reveals it to you, somebody writes something about you on Facebook and you blow out of here mad as a wet hen. What if this is the place where your children find God's perfect will? Place where your little boy meets his
creator life, God's will for his life.
What if this is the place where your little daughter meets God, the man God intended for her?
Amen.
And I do believe he has one for her.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, he puts more thought in them babies than we do. He told the prophet, I knew thee before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. He puts a lot of thought into these children's lives. Now what if we better be careful and make sure that we take care of us spiritually. Now I know this is going to sound bad, but take care of ourselves spiritually so that we make it to the show. Amen. What if my
mom,
I'll never forget this, and I said put this on, go ahead.
I remember one Easter Sunday,
my mother had like 113 people on her bus. And she was so excited, she had a bus and vans and cars following behind us. There was kids hanging out the windows. Thank God, this if this had been in today's time, she'd have got 47 tickets before we ever got to the church. Or the driver would have.
We pulled up in the, and I don't think this is a derogatory way, but you'll know what I'm talking about. We pulled up in the Gypsy Trailer Park. That was one of our stops. Every Sunday, picked up a bunch of kids.
We pulled up the Gypsy Trailer Park, and these little girls come running out of the house and got on the bus. They had on their Easter dresses, and their mother was standing there. This was back in the 70s now. Their mother was standing there, and I'll never forget it. She had on a pair of pink.
Type
thing, pink pantsuit. And she asked my mother, she said, can I come to church with my children? My mother said, of course you can. She said, yeah, but this is all I have. I don't have a dress to wear. My mama said, you're fine just like you are. Come on. We walked up on the steps of the
church, somebody
very high up in the church, looked my mother in the face with the lady
standing there
holding
mama's hand. And he said,
you've got two choices, put a dress on her or take her home. My mother had to put that lady in a car and drive her back to her house. As far as I know, I hope she did, but as far as I know, she never heard a presentation of the gospel. I bet that left a taste in her mouth.
I bet that's the last Baptist church she tried to go to. Are y'all okay? Now, if that had been you, not the lady, I'm talking about the bus driver, if
you. If you drive up in this parking lot next Sunday and you're coming and Miss Stacy with a teenage girl and she's tattooed and pierced and if I stop you in the parking lot and say you've got two choices, clean her up or take her home, you're going to get mad. Come on, be honest. You're going to get mad. There's a good chance I'd lose you over that. Are y'all staying with me? You would get upset. You would get mad. Did you know after that happened to my mother, she ran that bus route for probably another 18 to 20 years? What's getting quiet?
Who are you doing this for?
Amen.
I'd be like Tico saying, I'm not playing anymore.
They're making fun of me.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
Y'all all right? So often we allow circumstances and people making stupid decisions railroad us or derail us
and get us off
the
track
of what God wants us to do. I want you to keep running that bus no matter how mad I make you or how bad I offend you, and that's not, and you know me better than that. I'm just throwing out a scenario here. Are y'all with me? Don't let anything
or anybody
stand in the way of what it is God has you to do. Man, they've talked about me on the internet. I mean, told some of the biggest, fattest lies you've ever heard in your life. I'm not getting mad. Well, I'm lying. It didn't make me mad. But I ain't quitting. I'm sure that made my mother mad.
Hurt was probably a better description. Had it been me, I'd have said, you're rude, you take it home.
Explain to her why she's not good enough to come into our church. That would have been me. Let me tell you what, and I ain't just here to brag on my mother tonight. Tell you what a godly woman she is. Knowing in her heart that what she was doing was wrong, she said, yes, sir. She put the lady in the car and took her home. Was she right or wrong? She's doing what she's told to do. She's not going to answer for that. He will. We okay? What's it going to take to keep you from your Super Bowl? What's it going to take from you to keep you from knowing the greatest joy in your life, and that's fulfilling the will of God in your life? Now listen. You don't just show up game day and say, hey, I want. They learn how stupid their country preacher was, and they come out and they go applying for jobs at Christian schools and as youth pastors and as music leaders and all. And the first thing they want to know is how much my salary is going to be.
You don't get one to earn one. That's right. Amen. All good? Amen. Amen. Whatever happened to building something?
Yeah.
Amen.
Man, you don't just show up. Hey, man, if I had just shown up at this thing at the state our church is in now, this place was packed out Sunday morning. If I'd have shown up on the scene, I mean, wet behind the ears, never pastored a church before, brother, I'd been blown out of here a long time ago. There's a process, isn't it? There's some training. There's some battles. There's a lot leading up to the Super Bowl. A lot of them don't even make it to the Super Bowl, even though their teams are there. They're standing on the sidelines on.
Yeah, man. But you know what? They still get to wear the ring.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And they go. Because they've been wounded in the battle leading up to here.
Now, I don't know about you, but I want to make my Super Bowl. How about you?
Amen.
Now, what God was doing, this was Joshua's Super Bowl. Little did Joshua know back here when he was following Moses and just being a good servant. Little did Joshua know that when he was one of the 12 spies that went in, and when
he came back, those
10 said, we're not able, we can't do this. There's giants in the land and walled cities. And there was little old cocky Joshua and Caleb standing there together. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. We be much able, we can do this. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Little did Joshua know that God was lining him up to take Moses' place. He didn't know that. I don't think that was Joshua's. I don't even think he had an aspiration. I don't think that one day, I don't think he was praying, God, I wish you'd just kill him, take him off the scene. I'd get this crowd over that river. Amen. Man, if it's up to me, doing it like this.
That's right, yeah.
No, I think he was just being obedient.
Amen.
I think he was just being faithful. And God spied him out and said, there he is right there. That's the one that's going to lead them into the promised land. Now, God is giving Joshua an impossible job for Joshua. And your job may seem like an impossible job for you, but for God, it's not.
Amen.
If it's the
Sunday school class, it's not impossible.
Amen.
Amen. As long as you're trying to do it, you'll fall flat on your face.
Me and Brother Jason
have been talking about a recovery program,
an addictions program. With Jason, he's a mess to begin with. He tries that thing on his own. He'll be smoking. I'm serious. But with God, all things. Amen. I want to give you three words tonight to help you make it. Not just to your Super Bowl, but to find victory in your Super Bowl. And you know what? I think God's will for my life is more important than any ball game that ever has been played, ever will be played. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, Super Bowl number, what is this? Why don't they just write numbers? XL, XX, I don't know. Roman numerals, I'm not a Roman, amen. I'm an American. Put numbers I can read. Somebody help me right there. We think because we don't have the fame, we don't have the fortune, we don't have the notoriety, we don't have the celebrity status, that what we're doing is less important than what they're doing.
What they're doing
don't touch what we're doing.
Amen.
You said it again. What they're doing doesn't touch what we're doing.
Amen.
They'll be forgotten in a few years.
Yeah.
What we're doing is going to last throughout eternity.
Yeah.
I want you to look with me back again at verse number 7. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now watch what he's doing. He's telling Joshua, look, to do this, to take on this task, you're going to have to mind me. Do you understand that? I try to get that through my horse's head all the time. Look, if you would just obey me, this would be better for both of us. God is saying, if you'll just mind me and go the direction I want you to go and do what I'm asking you to do and obey the boundaries that I've set for you, this would be better for both of us. Because I don't like punishing you, and I know you don't like the chastening hand of God, so you're going to have to be obedient. So let me give you the first word to make it to the show tonight is submission. I believe that is an area more Christians have trouble with than they do addictions, than they do adultery, than they do any other thing, is just submitting themselves to God.
Amen.
Amen. Go to James chapter number 4. You might can quote it, but turn there anyway. Don't lose Joshua, though. James chapter number 4. Say amen when you get there. Y'all doing okay tonight? James chapter number 4. Look with me at verse number 7. The Bible says, submitting yourselves therefore where? To God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submitting yourselves, therefore, to God. We need to submit ourselves.
What does that mean?
Not give up. Let God have us, really. Really, really, really have us.
Amen.
It's just that simple. Surrendering, yielding our lives to him, giving God the right of way, giving God the lead, giving God's charge. I mean, really, giving God our all. Here I am. I'm a blank sheet of paper. I'll sign it at the bottom. God, you fill out whatever you want.
I remember
coming to the altar during revival meetings at White Oak and begging God
to show me his will for his life.
You know what he did? I asked for it to know God's will, so he showed me. I didn't like it. Y'all okay? And I'm wondering if he said, stupid, you ask? How many of you have ever asked for God's will? Well, I've learned over the years, sometimes that's a scary thing to ask for. Because it may not be banana splits and Oreo blizzards. God, I want your perfect will for my life. Okay. Preach. Huh? Preach? Me? No, you missed that. You missed it there. Anybody ever had that conversation with the Lord besides me? No, Lord, not me, God. No, I wear overalls to church. You don't want me to preach, God. You ask. You know what I kept doing, Brother Freddie? I kept praying for God's will. I was so under conviction about preaching, I'd still come to God, please show me what your will is for my life. I know something's missing. I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing. He'd say, already told you once. Did you know the greatest day of my life after salvation was when I surrendered? When I woke my wife up in the middle of the night crying my eyes out. She thought I was fixing to tell her I was having an affair. I said, honey, you know you promised you'd stand by me no matter what. She said, what is it? I said, God's called me to preach. She said, whoo, is that all? Man, it was like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulder, because all this time I'd been fighting against God and going against the grain and going the direction away from what I knew God wanted me to do. And all of a sudden, it just felt like I was preaching the word.
Amen, brother. First time I preached about 5 minutes.
5 minutes, had 5 pages of notes. I mean, this was a sermon going to change America. Ain't no way nobody can sit and hear what I got to say. It's going to be on. Yeah. D.L. who? I mean, brother, but that was my attitude.
Yeah, brother. Somebody help me. These preacher boys know what I'm talking about. I never heard him preach 5 minutes to cry about three of them. I'll never forget about
Charles Williams, my pastor growing up, came to hear me preach my first sermon. A little boy got saved. And I stood that Brother Earl had me come down and stand in front of the pulpit and was going to let everybody come around, shake my hand, tell me what a good job I did. And I was so embarrassed. I thought I'd
just...
People come around, I was so embarrassed. Good job, brother. And I said, yeah, right, yeah, sure. Thank you for being kind. All of a sudden, somebody walked up and they didn't shake my hand. They grabbed my shoulders and started shaking me like a rag doll. This Brother Charles Williams. He grabbed my shoulders and he shook me like, you look at me, boy. He said, you look me right in my God-given eyeballs. You just stood for God, son. You just surrendered to the will of God for your life. Now hold your head up. Amen. I ain't looked back since. I'm scared to death. As old as he is, he'd still come shake my tree. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, listen, if you'll just surrender to the will of God, it's better. It's easier. It's funner. Man, I started preaching, Brother Freddie, and something inside me said, I like it. That's why somebody said, why you... You like it. Why you eat ice cream?
Yeah, bro.
I preach because it's God's will for my life, but God's will for your life is something you will enjoy.
Amen.
If it's God's will for you to work a bus route, you're going to enjoy it.
Amen.
Joe Kelly has more fun on a bus route, I think, because he's so close to their level.
Amen. You're right. You're right.
But he's a natural man. God gave him that. And when God gives you something, man, you're going to have a blast doing it.
Amen.
This is not, I'm sick. I've coughed my head off all day. It's amazing. I ain't coughed one time since I started preaching. I'll probably croak like a frog when I'm done, but I'm serious, a heart attack. I love this.
Amen.
I get phone calls. We come here to preach. We come. Yeah, I will. Old Brother Jimmy called me from Brother Joe Arthur's church. Will you come preach our Valentine's banquet? Just come preach to us old people one more time. He said, we're getting older, brother. I said, amen, Brother Jimmy. I'd be honored to. He said, bring that good-looking wife with you. I'm glad he's 80. This is wonderful. Listen, in the game, the coach stands on the sidelines and he calls the plays. What good is it for him to give his wisdom and his direction if the quarterback ignores it every play? God's given his direction, God's given his will, God's given his way, but what good is it if we're on the field in this game of life or our Super Bowl, whatever you want to call it, and we're not paying attention? God, I think this will work better. You don't get paid to think. The more I think, the more trouble I get into.
Amen.
It's a whole lot better just do what he says. Then if it falls on its face, it's his fault. Well, it got quiet, didn't it? Amen. Surrendering. Submission. When are you going to get to the place when you get tired of struggling against the bits in your mouth, trying to go your way and do what you want to do, and okay. God didn't make me preach. A lot of times we hear people talk about surrendering to preaching. It's like, oh, God was going to kill me. God wasn't going to kill me. He might have let me think of what he was. God didn't make you do nothing. You're the one who's going. God's not any worse off because you won't do what he wants you to. Do you understand that? Isn't it funny how we get to thinking, oh, if I was to leave this church and fall apart. No, because this church. Amen. Three words. I want you to get them tonight. Submission. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. There's a man in our church, and I won't call his name because he still comes. If he didn't, I would. He called me once a week when he first got saved. I led him to the Lord. When he first got saved, he'd call. I preached one night about being submissive. And I used that, one of the verses I used was, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. He called me once a week, Brother Freddie. You remember. Tell my wife she needs to submit. Straighten her out. I was like, oh, Lord, man, you just don't get it, do you? It's a two-way street, ain't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Submission. That's a hard thing to do. Because we're born with the attitude, nobody's telling me what to do. I'm doing my way. That's what's wrong with America today.
Amen.
How dare somebody tell me what I'm doing is wrong or immoral? How dare somebody? What gives you the right? This book.
That's right.
This book. I don't just look at people and say, I just because I don't like, maybe they're not like me. I don't like the way they live, so therefore it's not. I've got a guide.
Yeah.
And life is so much easier when I submit to that guide.
Yeah.
Amen. It was D.L. Moody who said, it is yet D.L. Moody, who personally, I'm talking about before television, before radio, before stadium campaigns, led over 1 million people personally to Christ, so they say. Here's the statement D.L. Moody made. He said, it is yet to be seen what God could do with a man who is totally surrendered unto him. Wow. What a statement. I've heard it 1,000 times, but it's just as heavy every time I hear it. I wonder if we've ever really known somebody who's totally surrendered to God. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. Because you know what gets up with me every day? Me. Flesh. That's why Paul said I die daily. He was putting old flesh down every single day. You don't just submit to God, come to the altar one time, say, okay, God, I submit to your will. It's a lifestyle.
Yes, it's something you do on a continual basis. Yes,
submit yourself to God's will. Amen? Look at verse number 8. Oh, I guess you need to go back to Joshua. Y'all still doing okay? Remember, I told you I got 3 words, so that means 2 more. Verse number 8. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Second word, saturation. Saturation.
For the next however many days it is in the Super Bowl.
However many teams it is in contention, they're going to go to sleep each night with that game on their mind. They're going to wake up every morning, first thought in their heads, Super Bowl. As they go out through the process of their day, their lives are totally engulfed by this one game.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Amen.
What God is saying to Joshua, "Joshua, you want to make it across Jordan? You want to conquer Canaan? You want to win your Super Bowl? You want the ring, son? You're going to have to saturate yourself with my word. You want to be successful, you're going to have to live it, eat it, breathe it, sleep it."
Amen.
You say, "Now that's just a little bit hardcore." Yeah, it is. You ever marinated a steak or marinated a chicken? You fix your marinade and you let it soak in it overnight. Why? So it can absorb the juices, so it can absorb the flavor. You don't put it on there 5 minutes before you go, "Oh, it's time to go to church. I better read a verse." You're not going to make it. You're just not going
to
make it. We're going to have to saturate ourselves.
We
still okay tonight? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved." Hey, listen, we need the Word of God in us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe part of that, I know the person of the Holy Spirit of Christ moves in us, Brother Charles, when we get saved. But I believe that verse is a little bit deeper than that. He is the Word. We okay? He is the Word. The more of this book that's in you, have you ever thought, I've made this statement 1,000 times, I'm not good at quoting scripture, I'm not good at memorization, and then all of a sudden you get in a face-to-face conflict with somebody over something, eternal security, or a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon, and all of a sudden scriptures just start flying out of your mouth, and they walk off dumbfounded and with their tail tucked between their legs, and you go, "Huh, I didn't know I knew that." It's like a computer. There's a file up there. And God can recall that thing when you need it.
Yes, bro.
Amen. Sometimes we live our lives with no conviction because there ain't no scripture in it.
Amen.
You ever start to pop your mouth off and a verse of scripture jumps in your mind?
Yeah. Amen.
You ever start to react in a wrong way to somebody and that verse pops in your mind and you go,
Amen.
Man, it rules your life.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Submission is important, but then after submission needs to come saturation, man. We need to get in this thing. And I'm going to tell you, the days are coming when it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. I don't care who wins this election. This mess ain't going to be fixed no time soon. And it may just continue to decline. That's what it's been doing. I mean, we started off perfect in the Garden of Eden. Think we've arrived to this great thing? No, we've fallen way. This is the world we're living in. They succeeded in kicking Jesus out of school. They succeeded in kicking him out of the courthouse. You can't have a nativity scene on government property. Come on, y'all. I'm saying you better be equipped. You better be saturated with this thing or you won't make it.
Amen.
And I want to make it. Amen. Saturate. Well, how do you get saturated? Well, hear it and read it. I don't think you could hear too much preaching. Amen. I don't think you'd get too much of this book in you. People always say, well, I don't want to get so heavenly minded. I'm no earthly good. You're no in danger of that. You're no danger of that. Not this crowd. I know you. And you know me. We okay? I'm telling you, there's the difference between the Christian who is strong and living for God and the one who is out is this book right here. I believe that with all my heart. You say, well, and it's your prayer life. If you're reading this Bible, you're going to pray. Y'all all right? If you're reading this Bible, your prayer life's probably going to be okay. Y'all all right? Saturation, saturation, saturation. I promise you, every player that steps on that field Super Bowl Sunday, their lives have been saturated by the game they're fixing to play. They've watched tapes, hours and hours and hours and hours of the opponent's tapes. They know those other teams as good as those other teams know them. And those other teams know them. They have lived their lives for this one thing. You know the one who will walk off the field with a trophy in their hand and a ring on their finger? The one who saturated themselves with it the most. The ones who shows up ready to play. I was listening to some of the commentators Monday night before the championship game, the Alabama and whoever them people are over there in the swamp. I'm so glad they got beat. They said it all depends on who shows up to play. LSU never made it across the 50-yard line. Somebody showed up to play ball. Amen. You here to play ball? You here to win? Somebody said, well, winning isn't everything. Vince Lombardi said it was. He says the only thing. I don't want to walk into heaven a loser. Amen? You want to win? It takes submission. It takes saturation. And then when there's submission and saturation, then you get the success. Watch what he said in verse number 8. He said, the book of the law shalt thou meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Then, what's that mean? Well, after you've done this, then you'll have the success. The other way around. Lord, give us the success, and then we'll do right. No, you do right, and then you get the success. Okay? Every player on that field playing for a ring. To put on, we're not playing for a ring, but a crown. Amen. Amen. Judgment seat of Christ is coming, whether you like it or not. Amen. We're all going to stand before Him. Amen. You understand that?
We're going to be judged
for the works done in our body, whether they be bad or good.
Yes.
They're going to be tried as by fire. Amen. He said some would be wood, hay, and stubble. Yes. Stuff that'll burn. How about you? I want to know the success. There's no bypassing the only route to success in the Christian life. I believe in any other area of the life. Any other area, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your marriage, whatever. I believe these three words would apply. It's always those in authority's fault. We need to teach our children. My mother had a rule. You get 4 licks at school, you get 8 when you get home. All these kids storming in the office, I want to call my mama. That's the last thing I wanted. Here, let me bend over that desk. Help yourself, just don't call my mama. Give me 2 extra and don't make a call. He meant that stuff too. I got a whooping at school. I got tore up and I got home. That happened pretty regular too. You know what my mama was trying to do? She was trying to teach me you can't play me against them.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? The majority of them have a college degree. All of them have a college degree. They're smarter than your 12-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The teacher just don't like me. You're probably right. Because she sicks you on them every time she gets in trouble. Submission. We need to teach it to our children. And by the way, we're teaching it to our children by example. They're watching how we submit. You know what? They start seeing it at a very early age in mama and daddy. And how daddy submits unto mama and how mama submits unto daddy. You said, you submit to your wife? I sure do. She turns around and tells me what to do all the time. But we're submitted one to another. That's what the Bible says, submitting yourself one to another. Y'all okay? And your children start singing that at a very early age. If all you do is nag, 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 and sir, if all you do is gripe, 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 guess what you're going to raise? If every time your child comes to you and says, when mama's done told the kid no, and then he goes to daddy and daddy says, yeah, it's okay. Don't override each other. Get on the same page. Because they're going to go to school and the teacher's going to go say no and they're going to think, well, I don't have to do what they tell me. I can do whatever I want. Start teaching that thing of submission early. Because they will submit sooner or later. I'd rather it be to a second grade teacher than a judge.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Amen, brother.
Brother Daniel pulls them over every day. There ain't nobody going to tell them what to do. Oh, I don't care if that sign says 45. I can run 70. Go ahead. It's going to cost you. Submission. We ought to learn that in our life. Apply it to our life. Some of us need to resubmit. We sing that song, I Surrender All, with our fingers crossed behind our back. Amen? Saturation. Are you saturated? You said, boy, I sure am struggling. I had a phone call yesterday. Talked for a good long time with a man that used to go to this church. He got out of this church and got out in a big way. You know what he told me? He said, I got out of the Word. He said, I got out of the Bible. The more I got out of the Bible, the more the world got in me. I don't believe he'd mind me telling you that. You know why he's calling me? He wanted me to pray for him. He's preaching tonight. I ain't for all this, somebody falls down, they're down forever. No, sir. Pick him up, dust him off, set him on his feet, and let him go. Amen?
Amen.
Submission, saturation, then success. We all ought to want it. We all ought to want it. I've been thinking about that football game, and I'm done, Brother Todd. Well, he don't have to come. We're going to hand out prayer. Let's stand.